The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Welcome to NFL Live. We are so glad you've chosen to join us. We appreciate you. I'm Laura Rutledge. That's Dan Orlovsky looking very official, I must say.
Good to be here with you and Marcus and Mina. Good to be back in studio.
You mentioned Marcus and Mina. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, they are right there. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good. We're enormous.
What's up? I still can't believe they gave us our own show.
Well, listen, don't ruin it for us before we even get started. Hey, we will be with you as far as we know every day at 4 p.m. right here on ESPN. Tons of news to get to today. Later this hour, we'll tell you why Cam Newton will be the Patriots starting quarterback. But first, we bring in Adam Schefter, who will be joining us often on NFL Live. Schefty, let's get us started with the latest news with Earl Thomas. What's going on with him around the league?
Laura, the free agent market for Earl Thomas is not going to move quite as fast as I think he would like. Now, a lot of people thought he would wind up with the Dallas Cowboys. One source told me on Sunday that the Cowboys were the favorite, but the Cowboys have not been quick out of the box. And I think there's some feelings within the organization, mixed feelings about whether or not to make a move for Earl Thomas. So he continues to sit and wait to see which teams will weigh in and go ahead and make a move from. As for Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, he missed practice Saturday and Sunday with a strained groin, but he was back at practice today. The Ravens don't believe it's a significant injury. That's why he was back. But anytime the MVP misses time, it's always notable and always interesting. And again, Lamar Jackson seems to be okay. One player who is not is the Browns' rookie safety, Grant Delpit. Went down during practice today with what the team is concerned is an Achilles injury. It was a non-contact injury, not the sign you want, not the injury you want. He was slated to start at the free safety position, and now it looks like he could miss an extended period. We'll wait to see what those test results show, but Grant Delpit looks like he suffered an Achilles injury today.
Yeah, Greedy Williams also walking off, but he could be injured as well. Sheffy will stay with us. More to come from him. Back to our top story today, though, Earl Thomas. And as for that possible destination of Dallas, Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy asked about the safety joining his team. Here's what he said.
Well, actually, the conversations, I've been involved with, we had a chance to have a thorough, personnel meeting just 2 days ago. And we're very confident in where we are as far as the 80-man roster. We look at every situation. It's player acquisition is 365 days a year.
All right, so everyone's telling us that the Cowboys aren't going to end up getting Earl Thomas. He is still owed $10 million by the Ravens. But this is the question of the day. We start with you, Marcus Spears. Where does Earl Thomas end up?
Dallas? Are you kidding me? First of all, how long have we been talking about this love connection that Earl Thomas has had with the Dallas Cowboys? The second thing is this. If you pay attention to what Jerry Jones did this offseason, he signed a lot of really good veteran football players on defense. Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, just brought in Everson Griffin, signed Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Like, this is a match made in heaven. You got a safety with multiplicity that can fit and evolve in any system that you run. And spare me all of the locker room and he ain't the guy. The Cowboys right now are in the business of winning a championship. You know what teams in the business of winning a championship do? They sign championship caliber players. And that's exactly what Earl Thomas is. So we can talk about all of the feelings about what happened in Baltimore and all of the things that transpired at the end of the career in Seattle. But if we're talking about right now today, Earl Thomas is available. The Cowboys are trying to win the Super Bowl, and they've signed a lot of veteran defensive players. Earl Thomas going to Dallas.
I agree with you on the football aspect for Dallas and Earl Thomas. And I would say this, the Achilles heel, especially last year with that defense, was coverage. And then if you just look in their division, the guy that wore them out last year was Zach Ertz, the Philadelphia Eagle tight end. So if you're looking at the Cowboys going, we got to get somebody in here who can cover Zach Ertz and to allow our corners to play a little bit better football, it makes a ton of sense. Now, that being said, this isn't just some home run hit, because the reality is this. The Baltimore Ravens decided to move on from Earl Thomas, and they're a Super Bowl contending football team. You got to figure out why. You got to find out if your locker room is going to be comfortable and capable enough to handle what Earl is going to bring. That being said, he's still a top 10 safety. He can still blitz. He can tackle in the open field, and he can cover. Those guys don't walk around the NFL that much. And to Marcus's point, they're a Super Bowl contending football team. If Earl Thomas joins the Cowboys, they jump into that NFC group of San Francisco, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans.
Well, Dan, we know why he punched a teammate, right? I mean, it came from his own teammates. And setting that aside and just focusing on the football issues, yes, Dallas, natural fit. We just talked about a team in Cleveland that lost their free safety, plays a ton of zone. Cleveland uses a ton of sub packages. They're only based 14% of the time. They could use Earl Thomas. But reality is, half the NFL could use Earl Thomas. Mm-hmm. Over the last 24 hours or so, I feel like I've been gaslit hearing that he's washed or seeing a couple of clips of run plays go viral. If you watched the Baltimore Ravens last year, you know that he is still a top-tier cover safety. He can play in any scheme. He proved that in Baltimore. Coming out of Seattle, there was thought, okay, he's a center fielder. He's been in that cover three forever. He showed in Baltimore he can play in any scheme, and their pass defense will suffer from his loss.
Okay, yeah, so maybe the ability on the field isn't necessarily in the question here if you really look at all of this, but there are some things that are, and you guys brought up the punching of Chuck Clark. That's one thing. Everyone remembers the last time you saw Earl Thomas in a Seahawks uniform. He's flipping the bird to Pete Carroll. That was after he broke his leg in 2018. There was also that $21,000 fine for knocking Mason Rudolph unconscious. There are so many things. I think when it all adds up, Adam, even he has been said to miss meetings with the Ravens. What is the level of concern around the league about signing this guy?
Listen, I think if there wasn't some level of concern, he would have been a Dallas Cowboy by now. But Dallas clearly is making calls and doing its due diligence on a player like Earl Thomas. And I think right away the fact that the Dallas Cowboys head coach is Mike McCarthy. The Seahawks general manager is John Schneider. They are very close friends. They work together in Green Bay. So it would be very easy for Mike McCarthy to call John Schneider to get a recommendation and a character check and find out what type of player he would be getting. And those are the kinds of calls that I believe are being made from Dallas to teams and people around the league. And if the Dallas Cowboys had an obvious answer, they would have acted by now. So clearly, there is discussion, there is debate, there is indecision about what to do. Now, again, as this goes on, sometimes a player's price drops. And in the end, it may get to the point where Earl Thomas is at a salary level that makes it comfortable enough for Dallas to say, well, we have to be able to take a chance on him now when the price is what it is. Right away, the price is as high as it can be. As time goes on, the longer a player is on the market, sometimes the price drops. And maybe it drops to a point where there are certain teams comfortable. And also, let's keep this in mind. These situations are fluid and often change. Today, the Cleveland Browns lost their rookie safety, Grant Delpit. How do we know that that's not a serious injury and that the Cleveland Browns all of a sudden don't call Earl Thomas and say, we want to bring you in and keep you in the AFC North?
This is exactly why I love Adam Schefter, because he gets my blood boiling sometimes when he says things. I don't care if Mike McCarthy and John Schneider are blood brothers. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are going to make this decision. I was there when Bill Parcells didn't want Terrell Owens. I was there when Pac-Man Jones was a controversial pickup. We saw Greg Hardy. We saw all of these players, Alden Smith this year on this team. We've seen a plethora of players come to Dallas with these so-called issues, things that's been going on, the reputations in other locker rooms. But if Jerry identifies Earl Thomas as a guy that they want on this team, I don't give a damn what Mike McCarthy feel like. I don't care what John Schneider say. I don't care what the president say. Jerry Jones is going to make a move for Earl Thomas if he think he can take him to a championship.
I think Marcus is absolutely right, and you're running through the litany of players who have signed with the Cowboys certainly makes that clear. Also, I think it should be noted, the John Schneider, the situation in Seattle, that was about money, really. I mean, you can quibble with how he expressed himself and his feelings about that money, but we knew why he was upset, because they didn't want to keep him and pay him. In Dallas, you have a team that is a Super Bowl contender this year. A team with question marks not only in the secondary, but in the pass rush, having just lost Gerald McCoy. Yes, they signed Everson Griffin. You know what helps a pass rush that has holes? a secondary with an elite free safety like Earl Thomas. From a football perspective, regardless of what kind of scheme they run with the new defensive coordinator Mike Nolan, it's a no-brainer to me.
But here's the question that the Cowboys and every team have to ask themselves. The two best teams, or two of the best teams in the NFL, organization-wise, the Seattle Seahawks and the Baltimore Ravens, have both decided to move on from Earl Thomas in the last 18 months. They're both Super Bowl contending football teams, and the players in Baltimore backed it.
Yeah.
So you've got to ask yourself, what makes you as an organization right and them as an organization in the Ravens wrong?
Yeah, it's interesting, too. The Cowboys had just 7 interceptions last season. That was tied for the fewest in the league and the fewest in franchise history.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We will go to Mina Kimes and Adam Schefter right here to answer some of the biggest questions people have as they get ready for their drafts. My ears are perked up. Let's start with you, Schefty. First quarterback off the board, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
Great choices, but again, Lamar Jackson's coming off an MVP year. Hard to repeat that, and Patrick Mahomes is not coming off the MVP year. So to me, Mahomes is in line for a huge season, particularly with the weapons he has on the offensive side of football. Lamar Jackson's going to have a great year. I just think Patrick Mahomes is a $503 million quarterback for a reason. So typically when a player's paid $503 million, I'm going to side with him.
Yeah, get that bag. Hey, Mina, a couple quarterbacks coming off injury, Ben Roethlisberger or Matthew Stafford, who do you go with?
I like them both, but I like Stafford more for a couple of reasons. One, I like his weapons. I think T.J. Hockenson's going to have a huge year. Love Golladay. Two, he's just done it more recently. Last season, before Stafford got hurt, he was balling QB6 in fantasy, 5th most efficient passing attack, and he was airing it out. I love him this season.
Hey, free advice from me. If Christian McCaffrey is available, take him. But, Shefty, we'll ask you this. Who's the first running back off the board after McCaffrey?
Well, listen, I can make an argument that Saquon Barkley could be the number one running back off the board, period. As great as McCaffrey is, and he's going to have a huge season in Carolina, I just think with Jason Garrett being the Giants' offensive coordinator, with him having the history that he has had running the football, with Saquon Barkley struggling with injuries last year, I think Saquon is poised to have a big year this year. He's the running back right after McCaffrey, and I think he's going to be right up there with McCaffrey.
Mina, from a fantasy standpoint, is Joe Burrow, as a rookie, a legit QB2 option?
Definitely, and borderline QB1. Look, that offensive line, not great, some good weapons, but here's what I love about him. Don't act surprised when Joe Burrow runs. It's going to happen. Now it's just going to be like, wow, no one talks about Joe Burrow using his feet. He's been using his feet forever. Stop pretending like it's not a thing. And that will give him a floor in fantasy.
Yeah, listen, we all know about Joe Burrow's ridiculous numbers at LSU last year. Obviously, we're comparing apples to oranges here, but his Heisman-winning campaign would have been worth 517 fantasy points last year. Shout out to Will from research on these. These numbers, whatever it is, that would have been 100 points more than Patrick Mahomes recorded during his MVP season in 2018. Burrow, we got to watch him a lot in college. He's as cool as they come. He's clutch in the biggest spotlight in college football and the biggest spotlight that had to offer. Now he teams up with Zach Taylor and the Bengals. Marcus, it feels like we saw this guy every other day up close and personal last year. What will we be saying about Joe Burrow after year one?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We'll be saying that the Cincinnati Bengals have their 10 to 15 year superstar quarterback at the position, give them an opportunity to win not only games, but a Super Bowl and get into the playoffs. Listen, the one thing people got to remember, Joe Burrow is 23 years old. He's not coming into this league wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. He feels like he's a pro. He approached the job that way. Laura, you and I saw him at LSU up close and personal. Before the season, Joe Burrow said, we are going to win every game. We're going to win the national championship. He was calling his shots. This is what Cincinnati drafted. They knew he was a good quarterback. They saw the 16 touchdown ratio to 50 the next year in college, but they wanted to draft somebody that was going to lead this franchise for a long time. We will say Joe Burrow is the future of Cincinnati, but also the future of this league.
We're going to say that Joe Burrow's a bad dude. That's what we're going to say. Let me give you three reasons why Joe Burrow's still going to be successful this year, even without preseason games and whatnot. First of all, the scheme that he runs with Zach Taylor. It is the Gary Kubiak, Mike Shanahan scheme that doesn't stress a quarterback a ton intellectually, right? It's more turn your back to a defense, play action pass, and then play reactionary, which is what Joe Burrow's strength is. Number two, they have some talent around him. A.J. Green. Tyler Boyd is one of the better slots in the NFL. John Ross, the ex-first rounder, can still run. Joe Mixon and Gio Bernard. So, like, if I told you those skill players and you put them in Green Bay, everyone would go, Aaron Rodgers is going to have the greatest career of his year. But they have some talent around him. And then the third thing is this. Joe Burrow does not panic with the football. We so often see rookies come in and then they panic with the football. Joe Burrow won't. He is going to play really good football, whether you're a veteran or a rookie, and we will walk away going, Joe Burrow is a bad, bad man in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting because, Marcus, I feel like there are so many comparisons to potentially be made with Joe Burrow and Peyton Manning. Look, Peyton came in, didn't have the greatest rookie year. The numbers weren't great, but you still knew he was the guy. Why do you agree with that?
Because you're confident in his mindset. Dan just touched it, and Dan played in this league a long time as a quarterback. The number one hurdle for quarterbacks is the mentality. Mm-hmm. Am I good enough in my own mind? Not what the coaches are telling me, not the confirmation from the media and people talking good about you. Do I feel like I'm that guy when I step on the field? Joe Burrow has that juice. Peyton Manning went 1-15, and there was nobody that batted an eye in Indianapolis and didn't think that they had their guy for the future. I'm not saying that Cincinnati will go 1-15, but what I'm saying is after this season, there will be no doubt for the Bengals that Joe Burrow is their future and they have a bright future with that guy.
Yeah, even if Burrow threw for half of the touchdowns he had at LSU last season, he would break Baker Mayfield's rookie passing record of 27 touchdowns. And if he just watches NFL Live, he's going to feel great about himself. We're apparently the Joe Burrow fan club.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back to our top story of the day, safety Earl Thomas, released on Sunday by the Baltimore Ravens for punching teammate Chuck Clark toward the end of Friday's practice. Earlier today, Clark met with the media to address the issue, saying, quote, right now, as a team and an organization, we're moving forward. We're putting that situation in the rear view. Now, according to our Football Power Index, the Ravens had the second best chance to win their division in the NFL this season, behind only the Chiefs in the AFC West. But this is where things get interesting. FPI believes the Steelers have a 58% chance to make the playoffs with Big Ben under center, while the Browns have a 46% chance to make it, which would be their first postseason appearance since 2002. Dan, those numbers, I feel like, kind of set you up right here. You heard the numbers. What does this mean for the AFC North?
Well, the AFC North is going to be a bloodbath as a division, but because of the offseason that the Ravens have had and then kind of culminating with Earl Thomas moving on, I like the Steelers in this division. This team was 8-5 last year before three losses to end the season when they scored 10 points in those games. They're going to have a top five defense, and then they have their Hall of Fame quarterback, Big Ben, back and go, can he still play? Well, first of all, can he still move in the pocket? Again, this is just 2 years ago, third down. He still has the ability to create, make secondary reaction plays, and deliver the ball downfield. Now, the second question you ask is, well, can he still place it exactly where he needs to in the pass game? Quick drop back in the red zone, throw it up high to Juju where only he can go catch it before the corner gets there. And then can you still see coverage? Watch that flat defender flow outside towards the sideline, pump the corner to get him to jump that hitch, and then drill this strike down the sideline to Juju. So they're getting the quarterback back that not only has the resume of a Hall of Famer, but can still move. And he can still throw the ball exactly where he needs to and then still understands coverage. They got better as a football team this offseason, the Pittsburgh Steelers, where the Ravens have lost some really key people, especially Earl Thomas.
Yes, the Steelers got better on offense because the bar was like outside of my box. It was so low. But you guys are talking about Ben like he was frozen in time, like he's, I don't know, your high school sweetheart and everything's going to be exactly the same. I don't know if you guys have ever been to a high school reunion, but things change, okay? And not only was that from 2018, that was back when he had Antonio Brown. You want to know why Juju was wide open on some of those plays? It's a very different offense. I still like Pittsburgh. I think they are a playoff team. But Baltimore, aside from losing Earl and that there's a massive impact on their defense in that regard and Marshall Yanda on offense, that team has continuity on both sides of the football, continuity in coaching. They get Hollywood Brown healthy and Lamar Jackson taking another step forward as a quarterback. I still like them to win the division.
Mina, listen, I know you and I are going to have our squabbles because we on TV a lot together now going forward. But I'm so glad you a breath of fresh air today from this dude. I mean, seriously, if the quarterback is over 6'5 and he don't run faster than a 4'8, Dan like him. And he gonna change the game. Look, we all got respect for what Ben Roethlisberger can do. We all know how good he is. But this is Lamar Jackson's division now, and you're going to have to accept that. Yes, I know they lost Marshall Yanda. I know Earl Thomas is leaving. But they added Calais Campbell. Don't sleep on J.K. Dobbins, who I think could emerge as possibly rookie offensive player of the year when we start talking about how this offense operates and as much as they want to run the football. This is still Baltimore's division to give away. I give it to you that the Steelers' defense is stout and one of the best in the league. This is the Ravens' division until somebody prove otherwise. And Ben Roethlisberger, as great as he is, ain't finna walk through that door and be better than Lamar Jackson right now.
And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but everybody is sleeping on Ohio. Yes, it is Baltimore's division to lose. And yes, Pittsburgh, we know, is perennially tough. But Cincinnati is going to be much better. Joe Burrow is going to be better than people think. And Cleveland, with a new regime, with a new coach in Kevin Stefanski, is going to be better than people think. And so I think those teams that are trying to creep up on Baltimore are going to narrow the gap. And it's going to be tougher, as good as the Ravens are, to hold on. Lamar is the MVP, and Pittsburgh is tough. But I'm telling you right now, Cleveland and Cincinnati are going to be improved this season.
Yet when you think about the AFC North, guys, let's just stick on the Browns for a second, Marcus, because I think it's interesting the continuity that Kevin Stefanski could bring if he can just last for a while. The Browns have had 11 head coaches since joining the NFL in 1999. So what do you think he can bring to the table that might make them, to Adam's point, more of a contender?
I hope it's just an identity, Laura. That's what we talked about last year. Look, I wasn't. It's noted, I wasn't high on Cleveland even after they made all of the moves, because this game is legit about continuity, team development, guys playing with each other, being on the same page, and a first-year head coach. So many people talked about that. Now we're at a point where I feel like this is Baker Mayfield's put up a shut up year, even though they have a new coach. I feel like this is the year where you have team continuity. We interviewed Baker at the Super Bowl. He talked about being more reserved, keeping things in-house, moving forward. I agree with Shefty. And I agree with Dan. If there's a sleeping monster in the NFL, it is the Cleveland Browns. But they are going to have to prove it. And that starts with their quarterback being what everybody else thought he could be once he was drafted.
Yeah, there's going to be three teams that come out of this division that go to the playoffs. And we'll figure out who actually wins the division. Remember, there's seven teams going to the playoffs this year. I would say this. The Browns' number one thing that they need from Kevin Stefanski is to realize that their talent is not more important than championship habits. If he can get that team to develop championship habits, then you're going to see the talent shine. And that's when Baker's going to be. Baker's in the perfect scheme. It is the perfect scheme for Baker. Landry can still play. Austin Hooper is going to be one of the better tight ends in football when it comes to a perfect fit for him. That defensive line can be dominant. But they've got to develop championship habits to allow the talent to kind of show off.
Yeah, the Browns always a sticking point for this crew. We will, of course, get back to them at some point later on. But let's get to this news. The NFL has cleared all individuals who tested positive over the weekend for the coronavirus following what its testing partner called a, quote, isolated contamination during test preparation. All of the original 77 test results have now been classified as false positives. So here's Bills quarterback Josh Allen on how he feels about his false positive.
I'm happy that it happened now instead of come season time. If this were to happen on Saturday or Sunday, who knows if I'd be playing. So I'm glad. I know it sucks that I was kind of the guinea pig and whatnot and a part of that process.
So you hear Josh Allen calling himself a guinea pig. Adam, what are you hearing from around the league about the current COVID protocols?
Well, think about this, Laura. There were all these false positive tests over the weekend, 77 in all. They ran the tests again just to make sure Sunday night into today, and all 77 tests came back negative once again. Josh Allen, one of the players who tested positive, who was forced to miss practice on Sunday because of that test, that's something that teams will have to overcome. The Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski, tested positive. Turned out to be not positive. Teams have gone through it. Look, this is just a different year, and there are going to be obstacles and adversity that nobody could foresee coming. This is one of them. But the facts remain the same. Since August 12th, from August 12th to August 20th, the NFL tested close to 60,000 people. 60,000 tests, zero players tested positive. So what the league has done so far is working. What's odd here is that BioReference Labs has done all the testing for the NBA. Everything's worked out great. Hasn't worked out great with the incident this past weekend. They need to figure that out because there are going to be blips that come up like this one. They can't have this during the season.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
We're back on NFL Live, and what a fascinating journey for Cam Newton so far, bringing his unique skill set to New England. 39 games with a passing and rushing touchdown, the most in NFL history, ranking ahead of Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, and Fran Tarkenton. But can the Pats protect him? Newton's taken the sixth most sacks since entering the NFL, but on the flip side, the Patriots have allowed the second fewest sacks in that span. He's got to stay healthy. The last two comeback players of the year were quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill and Andrew Luck, after not having one since 2013. Can Newton continue this trend and revitalize his career in New England? Here's Patriots reporter Mike Reese.
Laura, right here on these practice fields behind me, the Patriots quarterback picture has taken a decisive turn in the direction of Cam Newton. Ever since Jarrett Stidham went to a local hospital last Thursday for tests on his leg, which came back negative, he has faded out of view. So instead of splitting the reps three ways, it's really become the Cam Newton show with a little Brian Hoyer mixed in. And in Monday's practice, Newton finished it off with an exclamation point, throwing a touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry right here in this end zone. And then he looked over to the defensive sideline and he let them hear about it. Running back Rex Burkhead told me there was a lot of competitive banter in the practice. He said it's exactly what the Patriots need as they look ahead to the regular season. Laura?
Thanks to Mike Reese for that. And look, you keep hearing about Cam Newton's leadership there in New England. Mina likes it. It's funny. It's good stuff right there. Wait, first of all, Marcus, what is the face? Going to start with that.
I mean, Eureka. It's Cam damn Newton. Like, what? First of all, I sat in a mini studios listening to people not go unnamed talk about, oh, this is Jarrett Stidham's job, and he been in the system, and Jarrett Stidham is going to be the guy. Him and Cam may split reps, but Cam Newton going to have to come in, and he going to have to earn this job, and he going to have to do all of this, and Jarrett Stidham probably going to start. And I told y'all from day one what was going to happen. Cam Newton, we talking about Cam Newton. We talking about a former NFL MVP. We talking about a guy that led a team to a Super Bowl appearance. And we talking about a dude, when last seen healthy, was one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And y'all thought Bill Belichick was just going to go out there and sign him to come look pretty and say, ooh, look at the Patriots. They signed Cam Newton. They brought him in to start. That's, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to act shocked. Like I was being facetious right there, but I'm telling y'all that this is what was going to transpire anyway. It's Cam Newton's job.
Dan Orlovsky, let me ask you a question. What did I say? What did I text you, Dan, when the signing happened? And then I'll get to my point. But what did I text you?
You probably texted me something about Josh McDaniels in this offense or something like that.
I said creativity. I love the fit. Yeah. I love the fit. And I'm not surprised for that reason, because here's the thing with Cam. A lot of the things that the Patriots should do with him are things they've already been doing. Ton of play action, quick passing game, which he excelled in 2018 under North Turner in Carolina. Motion. The Patriots are actually third in the NFL in motion, not to as great effect as Baltimore and San Francisco. Now they're just going to add an additional option element, a rushing game that perhaps draws on some of the cool stuff Baltimore's doing. But it's really not that significant a departure for them, and it makes too much sense.
Yeah, it makes too much sense for a lot of reasons, and Dan's going to make some more sense of it here. Dan, you've got a tape to explain this a little better, what they can do with Cam Newton in this offense.
This is why Cam matters in New England, because their greatest weakness is their skill players, the people outside. And when you have substandard or subpar skill players, a defense looks and says, we're just going to play those guys one-on-one and put an extra guy down near the ball. Defense puts eight guys down near the football. Now, as an offense, you can do some things to get creative and try to use some confusion where you'll motion somebody back into the backfield to try to even that numbers game up, but you still are down one. They have eight, you still have seven. But what Cam adds is you can run your base offensive plays where one of those motion guys can lead block, and then you could pull two people and run your basic offensive play. But then you could give one of those defenders to the quarterback, Cam Newton, because he's a willing runner. And now it becomes a 7-on-7 game, and it's Cam one-on-one with that defensive end. If he crashes, Cam keeps it. It becomes a huge gain for your offense. This move, or having Cam play quarterback for you if you're New England, one, negates your greatest weakness, the skill players, but it also plays to your greatest strength, your run game. And so this was Cam's job from day one. Mina, you just showed a glimpse of why you're so good and so smart and so legit, is because you understood from the moment Cam signed, this makes a lot of sense, and yeah, this is a good fit. And so this is Cam's job. He makes them better. They're not a playoff team, but he makes them better.
Yeah, let me pick up on that point right there, because, Mina, obviously we get it. Tom Brady's the GOAT. But if we're talking about the way that the Patriots are currently constructed, who is the better fit for them? Is it Brady or is it Cam?
I think this offense is going to look better than they did last season with Tom Brady. Now, I think Tom Brady's going to be better in Tampa Bay. I want to be very clear. That offense is going to be way more productive, and I'm not saying Cam's a better quarterback. But I think his skill set is uniquely suited to what Dan just described, which is their defenses, the fact that they have wide receivers who cannot separate. They still have a good offensive line. I know they lost Marcus Cannon. That is an issue at right tackle. But this is the best offensive line Cam Newton has played behind maybe his entire career, right? So I think while New England's probably going to take a step back on defense, which perhaps is why Dan thinks they're not making the playoffs, great hot take there, the offense is going to be better than they were last year.
Fiery hot takes from Dan. Marcus, I'll give you the final word here.
Listen, this is a part of the restructure of Cam Newton's career, right? We having these conversations. We're talking about fit. What Dan and Mina are saying is exactly right. But we also got to remember, there's a caveat. He has to stay healthy. Because, look, everything we've talked about with Cam Newton is not based on talent. It's all based on his durability and his availability. And as long as he's there to get that done, New England will be a better team. And I don't agree with Dan as far as saying they won't be good enough to win the division.
Let's get to something that's on everyone's mind today. Stop it, Dan. I'm close enough to you that I can get you to stop. One thing on your mind, we begin with Adam Schefter here. What's on your mind, Shefty, today?
Some wide receiver concerns out west. The 49ers are losing another wide receiver. Their first-round pick, Brandon Ayuk, suffered a hamstring injury over the weekend. Keep in mind, they don't know if they'll have Deebo Samuel back for the opener. Emmanuel Sanders left during free agency. And Mike Williams, the Chargers wide receiver, sprained his AC joint in his shoulder. He's going to be week to week from this point on. I think the team thinks he'll be ready for the opener, but doesn't know it just yet.
Dan, what about you?
I think it's with the Dolphins announcing that they're going to have some fans in their stadium. The NFL needs to step in and say, listen, if there is a city or an organization or team that can't have fans, no team can have fans this year, because there is an aspect of a competitive advantage or disadvantage. So no team, no fans should be allowed in NFL stadiums this year, just to allow it to be kind of uniform for all 32 organizations.
Mina, one thing on your mind today.
Laura, a year ago today was when Andrew Luck shocked the football world by announcing his retirement. Everyone kind of remembers where they were. I was at a Rams game watching the players on the field show each other the news and freak out. We're going to talk a lot about the Colts, which is a team that I really like. And it's amazing to me that in just that amount of time, they have returned to being in contention. It's a testament to the culture there and the coach.
Spears, what's on your mind?
Dallas, stop playing. Sign Earl Thomas. Listen, I have... Everybody know my affinity for the Dallas Cowboys. I want them to win every game they play. And this is a player that can potentially help you win every game. Now, do your due diligence. Find out all the particulars about what happened in Baltimore. And for as bad as it's going to be coming out of that organization, Jerry, sign the dude. Stephen Jones, sign him. Will McClay, sign him. Anybody that's in that organization, sign Earl Thomas, please. We've been going through this whole engagement for years. Sign him.
Yeah, Shefty started the show by telling us that Dallas really doesn't seem to be that interested yet, although that could change. I'm going to nail you guys down for some predictions here. Mina, we start with you. Where do you think that Earl Thomas ends up signing?
I think Cleveland needs him more, but I still think it's Dallas because of Jerry Jones. He is all in on this season, and he's going to do whatever it takes, even if it means, you know, signing a guy who punched his own teammate.
Dan, where do you think he ends up?
I'm actually going to take Mina's first team. I'll say the Cleveland Browns. If the injury to Grant Delpit is what is potentially believed, I'm going to say the Cleveland Browns because their new defensive coordinator, Joe Woods, comes from last year spending time in San Francisco, which runs that cover three scheme with Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh brought that over from Seattle, where Earl was one of the best, if not the best, safeties in football. I'll say Cleveland if the Delpit injury is severe.
Shefty, what can you add here?
Well, listen, I think it's a case where you would expect this to move quickly. It hasn't moved as quickly as some people think. Everybody knows what a great player he is, but because of what happened in Baltimore, I think teams want to make some calls first.
Marcus, so you're still sticking with it. You think it's the Cowboys?
Look, he went to University of Texas, Austin, right down the street. Dallas put all their chips in with good veterans with long careers, histories of playing at a high level. Earl Thomas would just be the one that comes in after that. We're talking about Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Alden Smith, Everson Griffin. Mm-hmm. The list is long. And they lost Byron Jones to the Miami Dolphins for $1 billion. Sign Earl Thomas, please. Jerry, I'm going to call you in a few minutes so Jared. I can tell you in person to sign Earl Thomas. FaceTime.
Marcus,
I'm going to FaceTime him, Laura.
How long have we been talking about this?
Oh, man.
Earl, the Cowboys. It's been waiting to happen for years now, right?
I know.
We're waiting for it. Hey, listen, thanks for tuning in to NFL Live today. We'll see you same time, same place tomorrow right here on ESPN at 4 p.m.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.